The content of this program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. A warm hello to all of our listeners, and welcome to today's program. This is Alida Khan from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from multiple sources, including Marie Claire Magazine, ThePowerOfPositivity.com, and 17 Magazine. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. And let's begin today with this interesting article from 17 Magazine from the September edition. It is entitled, I'm Always the New Girl. Princess Jeremy, 17, and her family move every few years. Along the way, she's learned to value lessons about making friends, as told to Heather Vargiani of 17 Magazine. Starting the school year is always a little overwhelming. You need your schedule just right. You want to choose the perfect first day outfit, and every couple of years I add, you don't know anyone, to the list of what stresses me out. My dad serves in the U.S. Army, and we've had to move a lot. I've lived in Germany, Japan, Hawaii, Kansas, South Carolina, Illinois, and now New York. During elementary school and middle school, being new wasn't that big of a deal because I was in a classroom with the same kids all day. But building friendships in high school has been a little more challenging. Finding my squad. The first time I felt really intimidated at a new school was freshman year. We had just moved from Germany to Illinois, and I'd spent the summer thinking it was going to be just like High School Musical. In my head, I'd pictured different cliques performing the musical number Stick to the Status Quo, and I worried I'd be cutting in. During lunch the first few days, I sat alone, trying not to feel sorry for myself. Finally, I asked my dad for suggestions. He told me just to ask someone if I could sit with them. It sounded easy enough. So the next day, I scooped out the cafeteria for open seats and got up to the courage to approach a table of people who didn't seem too closed off. To my surprise, the group said, "Sure, sit here." Just like that, we started talking about who each of us had for English, and the conversation flowed. My strategy worked out so well that the next day I decided to try to sit with another group. They told me no. They were just saving their empty seat for someone else. But as I finished my lunch alone, I didn't see anyone actually sitting there. It stung, but I didn't let them show. Why would I want to hang out with mean people anyway? After that, I went back to the original crew who'd welcomed me. From then on, they were my squad. Until I had to move to Brooklyn after sophomore year and start over. I was so worried it would be hard to find friends again, especially since I was going to a non-military school where most students had known one another forever. Luckily, I had my flute. I started playing partly so I'd have something I could transfer from school to school. I've realized that planning out the variables I can control makes me worry less than about the ones I can't do. So I always focus on myself first. When you're confident about everything that's going on in your life, you have a positive glow that other people will be attracted to automatically. Having an extracurricular I love helps me meet people too. At my current school, band practices began before summer vacation ended, so I had made friends before classes even started. Change is good. No matter how much I bond with people, I still have moments when they're all laughing about shared childhood memories, and I have nothing to contribute. Still, I've learned that I don't have to be shy about what makes me different. That's what makes me interesting. When I tell people I was born in Germany or share my stories about going to elementary school in Japan, they are immediately intrigued, and I like hearing about the experiences that have made them who they are. As I begin my senior year, I'm not as afraid as some of my classmates are to start all over again next fall when we go to college. It's always a little scary. But take it from me, there are so many genuine connections out there for you to make if you give yourself a chance. I've gotten used to leaving familiar faces behind, but I have a lot of besties all over the world now, and we FaceTime, Skype, text, and Snapchat. The sign of a good friend is when you can pick up where you left off, no matter how long it's been. Not too many people have had to move 7 times and counting in their life, but we're all thrown into unfamiliar experiences at some point. My advice, be open to them. Exciting things come when you go outside your comfort zone. And now for our next article. From thepowerofpositivity.com, here is a thought-provoking article. It's entitled, Researchers Reveal How Forgiveness Can Improve Your Health. Not only that, your body depends on it. Let us shed some light on the correlation between forgiveness and good health. You need to be aware of the dangers of holding a grudge and what it means to your body and to know the benefits of forgiveness. According to Johns Hopkins Medicine, chronic anger puts you into a fight or flight mode, which results in numerous changes in heart rate, blood pressure, and immune response. Those changes then increase the risk of depression, heart disease, and diabetes, among other conditions. Forgiveness, however, calms stress levels, leading to improved health. Researchers reveal how forgiveness can actually improve your health. It is why so many wise people talked of forgiveness, such as Martin Luther King Jr., Mahatma Gandhi, Bruce Lee, John F. Kennedy, the Buddha, Oscar Wilde, Mark Twain, and others. Lest we forget, true forgiveness is when you want the best for the person that has wronged you. Research from the Journal of Health Psychology has seen that forgiveness by itself all but erased the connection in stress with mental illness. But they need more research into why that is so. Can forgiveness be learned? Boffins believe so, which is why mental health professionals try to integrate it into therapy sessions and for people to work on it at home. It is very important to think about your situation and what has happened to you, identifying with the causes of your pent-up anger and meeting them head-on, dealing with them with self-love. If you must, talk to the people who caused you harm and tell them how it made you feel. Do whatever it takes to free yourself from the chains of anger. The key to unlock yourself is forgiveness. It is good for your health in general, and it makes you a more positive-oriented person with more charisma and a zest for life. There is a story of Buddha when a man spat in his face while talking to his disciples. He wiped off the spit and asked the man what he wanted to say next. Puzzled, the man was thrown off balance, as this was not the usual reaction to being spat in the face. The man returned home and could not sleep that night, clearly consumed by the experience, as he was soaking his bedsheets with sweat. The next day, the man went back to Buddha and threw himself at Buddha's feet, asking forgiveness. Buddha said that he was not the same man as the previous day, that the river keeps on flowing and is never the same again. For every man is a river, and much has happened in 24 hours. He added that the man was also not the same. He had changed from being a man who spat in someone's face to throwing himself to the feet of the person at whom he spat. Buddha finished by telling him to come closer and talk of something else. In this story, forgiveness is implied, and not even the precise words are needed to say that you forgive, or you have been forgiven. We end with this quote from Mark Twain. Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. Forgiveness is what you give for having a healthy, happy smelling of roses. And back to 17 Magazine, the September 2016 edition. Here is an article entitled Easy Ways to Earn Money. Clocking in isn't your only option for making bank. These tips from Stephanie O'Connell, a money expert and author of The Broke and Beautiful Life, will help you score extra cash using surprising strategies. Get paid. No shifts necessary. Even if you don't have time for a real job, you can still get those dollars. Ka-ching! Hit up where you hang. Never any room in your schedule between school and activities? See if there's a way for you to make a few bucks at places you already go. If you take a yoga class, see if they'll pay you to clean up the studio after your session. Or if your neighbor's pets need to go out when you'd be passing by anyway, ask if they need a dog walker. Turn your closet into cash. Round up what you no longer wear, clothes, accessories, bags, and sell it all. Services like Vinted and Poshmark make it totally easy and fun. All I have to do is take pics of what I'm selling, upload them with a description, and bam, money, says McKenna, 18, from Fort Collins, Colorado. For your information, you may need a parent to get set up, and the companies do take a percentage of each sale. If you're running low on stuff, offer to help a family member organize her closet. The deal? You get to take what she doesn't want. Rent what you've got. If you have a bike collecting dust in your garage or a lawnmower that only gets used once a week, ask your parents if you can loan it out. Post flyers around your neighborhoods and at local businesses. You should also post pictures of the stuff you have on your Instagram account or Facebook page so people can easily share your info. The prettier the photo, the better. Take advantage of holes in your routine. After school, instead of sitting around scrolling through your feed while you wait for practice to start, put those Spanish or math or science or creative writing skills to good use. If there's a subject you excel at, offer tutoring services to struggling students. Build up your client base by letting the teacher of the class know you're acting you're available to help anyone having trouble. Referral. Always referral. A Saturday side hustle. If you need a more permanent gig, here's how to land one. Do talk to your guidance counselor. Seriously, though, next time you pop in to discuss your grades, ask her if she knows of anyone hiring. She may have connections to local businesses and can tell you what will look good on a college app. Win-win. Don't forget to look for leads locally. Scope out flyers or bulletin boards around town for companies advertising their services. If one of them catches your eye, child care providers, party planners, give them a ring to see if they can use your help. Do try to find a dream job. If you love to bake, launch an Insta with pics of your legendary cupcake skills and get the word out that you're open for business. Hint, start with the moms on your block who always throw kids' parties. Don't get salty if you can't find or get your dream job. Truth, you may just have to nab something that works with your schedule, but there are ways to make the most of it. If you can name every beverage at your local coffee shop, try looking for an opening there first. Do take your interviews super seriously, even if you're applying just to flip burgers. Be professional. Introduce yourself using your first and last name. Look the person in the eye and give a firm handshake. Don't stress if you weren't completely clutch. Not every interview goes perfectly. If you freeze on a cue, don't be afraid to smile and ask to come back to it later. And if you feel like you didn't kill it with your first impression, make your last interaction the most memorable. Send a handwritten thank you note. Make it rain hacks. Take a cue from these clever girls. I go through my books and pick out the ones I don't read anymore. Then I put them on Amazon to sell. I make enough to pay for my textbooks. That's from Samantha, 20 years old, from New Providence, New Jersey. Everyone at my school was into monogramming, so my friend and I split the cost of an embroidery machine. We made $3,000 each in 2 years. That's from Anne, 19, of Houston, Texas. There wasn't any stylish spirit gear for my school, so I created my own and put it on Insta. Soon everyone wanted it, and I banked major money. That's from Remy, 19 years old, from Armonk, New York. Spend less and save more. Three tiny tweaks that will make you money just by being smarter with what you already have. 1. Take charge of the group text. If your friends are always going back and forth about where to eat out, step in and make the call and go for the cheap option. 2. Stop feeling extra about change. Don't just leave those quarters and nickels at the bottom of your bag. Make the effort to put them in a jar at home and then cash them in at the end of each month. Number 3. Resist the impulse to purchase. When you're at the mall, it can be easy to fall into a shopping spiral. Instead of buying ASAP, wait 24 hours and see if you still want it. Also search for an online discount code. And back to thepowerofpositivity.com, the health section. Here's some sound advice on the best foods to eat and avoid for weight loss. Losing weight is difficult in our modern society, full of sugary temptations and fast but nutrient-poor foods. So what foods will help us to lose weight? What foods that contribute to weight gain should we avoid? Choosing your nutrition, making lifestyle changes, and exercise help in weight loss. We are what we eat. It's important to make our nutrition a priority for our optimum longevity and health. Here are some foods to eat that will enrich your health and help in maintaining a balanced diet, as well as foods that you should avoid. Nuts and seeds. Nuts and seeds make a great on-the-go snack. Plus, they provide plenty of essential fatty acids like omega-3 and 6. Hemp seeds, flax seeds, chia seeds, walnuts, and hazelnuts taste great and give us the nutrition we need while keeping us full and satisfied. Leafy greens. Leafy green veggies are perfect for weight loss as they are low in calories but high in fiber and nutrients. The fiber makes you feel fuller without adding calories to your diet. Starches. You might think of a starch as bread, cake, or something else processed, but starches straight from the earth provide great nutrition with fewer calories than processed starches do. Eat things like potatoes, brown rice, millet, quinoa, sweet potatoes, and other whole starches if you want to lose weight. Cruciferous vegetables. Veggies like broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, and Brussels sprouts are low in calories, high in fiber, and also contain a decent amount of protein like leafy greens. They make you feel fuller without adding calories. Beans and legumes. Beans and legumes are a rich source of protein, fiber, and resistant starch. They make you feel fuller, while the protein helps you burn fat. Soups. Most of the foods that are low in calories and high in fiber are also high in water content, like fresh fruits and vegetables. Simply by adding water to your food and making a soup, you can feel more full and consume fewer calories. Fruits. Fruits, while high in sugar, actually have a very low energy density. The fiber in them takes longer to digest and therefore releases the sugar in them slowly. While they fill our need for sugar, they do so in a way that keeps blood sugar even and gives us vital nutrients we need for survival. Foods to avoid. Processed sugar. Foods high in processed sugar have a high energy density, and it is easy to consume a very large amount of calories in a very short time and still feel hungry. Processed sugar increases blood sugar and increases resistance to insulin, which is the body's method of metabolizing sugar. Eating large amounts of processed sugar can lead to things like diabetes and heart disease. So avoid those candy bars, cookies, cake, and hard candy. Potato chips and fries. Potatoes are rich in nutrients, but they are also rich in starch. Starch is easily converted by the body into sugar. While eating potatoes is good for you, overindulging in potatoes can lead to higher blood sugar and a less nutritious diet overall. While whole potatoes are good for you, fries and chips are not, as most of their nutrients have been leached out during the cooking process and are fried in unhealthy oils. Sugary drinks. Sodas are not only high in sugar, making you put on weight rather than losing it, but the caffeine and phosphoric acid may be responsible for bone loss. If you just replace soda with something more healthy like milk, water, or unsweetened tea, you can cut your calories and increase bone health. White bread. White bread is low in nutrients and high in added sugar. It is made from very fine white flour, and eating white bread can lead to spikes in blood sugar. Instead, try to eat wheat bread, corn, and rye bread. Fruit juice. Fruit juice is highly processed and contains almost as much sugar as a soda. The only difference is juice contains fiber and some nutrients. However, you should still eat a fruit instead of drinking one, as you won't have the same insulin spikes that you'd get from the fruit juice. And here is an article from Marie Claire, the November 2016 edition, the beauty section. Natalie Portman, in her own words, the Hollywood star keeps it old school and uses lipstick, not social media, to boost her self-confidence. I can still remember the smell of my grandmother's makeup. She would spend 2 hours putting on her face every morning before she would let anyone see her. Despite this legacy, my first experience getting made up didn't really involve makeup. It was for my first film, The Professional, and the makeup artist didn't want to use much product on me because I was just a kid. So she would mix beet juice and rose water and apply that to my lips and cheeks. Now I'm more of a lipstick person. When I moved to Paris 2 years ago because my husband took a job at the Paris Opera Ballet, I found it was more of a red lip city than anywhere else, so I wore Dior's number 999, a bold classic matte red. It has all of that passion and seduction that you want out of a red lipstick. We moved back to Los Angeles this summer. Here, it's obviously more playful and sunny, so I gravitate towards lighter, beachy colors like coral and pinks. For day, I like Dior's Grege. Makeup makes me feel confident. I feel like I'm put together in the morning. Everything else follows, and I have more control over my day. But as a working mother, I've learned to be comfortable with imperfection. Maintaining a work-life balance is a challenge for everyone. I personally stay away from social media because when you have a lot of attention on you already, privacy becomes the most valuable, luxurious thing, and it feels nice just to keep that little corner for myself. The idea of celebrity is changing these days, but I think it's dangerous to think of yourself as a brand instead of as a person. I try to be true to myself, and hopefully that projects an image so people can understand who I am from afar. I recently played Jackie Kennedy in Jackie, out this fall, which gave me some insight into her life. She was criticized so much for her style. Then, the public became obsessed with her style, but she didn't try to bow to anyone's demands. She had confidence and became a style icon just by being herself. This was as told to Ning Chao of Marie Claire. And here is another short clip taken from Marie Claire's October 2016 issue, Inside Beyoncé's Bag, according to Abby Jacobson, that is. What's in a person's bag can be quite revealing, says Abby Jacobson, one half of the Best Friend BFF comedy Broad City Comedy Central. Fun fact, Jacobson started her career as an illustrator and already has 2 coloring books under her belt. In her new book of colorful illustrations, Carry This Book by Viking, out October 25th, she digs into the bags of notable people from Michelle Obama to Queen Bey. It's fan fiction, she says. I am fascinated with what people carry around with them. Your things can say so much about you. In Beyoncé's bag, Jacobson imagines things like an Amex black card, a copy of The Secret, and a Cheerios-filled Ziploc bag labeled Blue Ivy. Oh, and Angry Birds. She must have a wide array of interests, just like all of us. Everybody has guilty pleasures. It was fun to make them just like us, playing the dumb apps we all play, she says. A lot of unmentionables that Beyoncé does is normal, but we would never see that part of her. She's probably not going to Starbucks with a gift card, but I'd like to think she might. So what's in Jacobson's bag? My laptop, reading material, sunglasses, lip gloss, a big pen. She trails off, and a whoopee cushion. This was told to us by Lindsay Weber. And from Marie Claire magazine, September 2016 edition, we have this fashion article by Carolina O'Neill. Big Girl in a Skinny World. Nothing. This, says Ashley Nell Tipton, is what plus-size women should steer clear of wearing. It's all about taking chances. I used to be afraid of rompers and bodycon styles. Now, I love them. This month, she's hoping shoppers will too. To be sure, no one would argue that the violet-haired Project Runway champion, who made history last year as the first designer to win with a plus-size collection, is afraid of taking risks. Plus-size women think they can't pull off stripes, crop tops, or sleeveless cuts, but that's just what society has made us believe, says Tipton. Inspired by the 1950s Grease and Crybaby, Are My Ultimate. The 25-year-old San Diego native created 19 styles for JCPenney that can be mixed and matched to manipulate the eye. If you have a small chest and big hips, try a pencil skirt and printed top to balance proportions, she says. Accessories-wise, she advises, don't be afraid to pile it on. I collect pins and put them on jackets to switch it up. But her most important words of wardrobe wisdom? Do you. If you're happy and comfortable, you'll feel untouchable. So says Carolina O'Neill. And here are some interesting facts about human emotions and instincts taken from the randomhistory.com website. Did you know that emotion is typically defined as a response to stimuli that involves physiological changes, increased pulse rate, increased body temperature, activity of certain glands, increased or decreased breathing rate, which motivate a person to act? Simply put, emotions are the feelings of the mind, the equivalent of what physical sensations are to the body. In Greek myth, many of the ills that plagued mankind were creatures of emotions such as revenge, spite, and envy. Released by the goddess Pandora, they sought to torment the world. Ancient doctors believed that different organs controlled certain moods. Happiness, for example, came from the heart, anger from the liver, and fear from the kidneys. Studies show that connecting a brand to a consumer on an emotional level is one of the most powerful advertising techniques. For example, Nike's pervasive theme of success in sports focuses on a key emotional trigger, and that has built sponsorships, advertising, and business empires. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. We hope you are enjoying our revamped format and broader content presentations intended for a blind and print-impaired audience, and we look forward to hearing your remarks. Be sure to listen next time, and remember that this broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast as our website, TriangleReadingService.org. I am Alida Khan, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and wishing you a lovely, safe and productive week. Until next time, I leave you with this inspirational thought for the day. Life does not have to be perfect to be wonderful. For comments, questions, or suggestions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138.